oppressed by oppression and judgment. He was taken away. And for his generation, the people that were all around him, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? No one. Who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Zero. No one in his generation. What about our generation? What about our generation? What about you and me? Are we going to be of a generation that are going to die and just go away and not have anything to do with this great and powerful word that comes to us and says, you need to believe. And you need to believe in the truth and look at to the extent that God loves you. Look at to the extent that what he was willing to endure for the sake of mankind. Does it leave you cold? No. It brings out the best in us because we see that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that we can rejoice and we can have hope for each new day. And that is why Reverend Gordon is going to the Jewish people and risking his own name and his own life among people who do not want to hear this every day of his life. We need to get into that, and we need to hear what that it look. We need to see what that looks like, and we're going to go and visit his church, and we're going to go and get involved in his ministry, and we're going to see how a man who is born in Hong Kong has a passion for the people of God and is willing to endure much adversity and put in hours and hours and hours of study to learn Hebrew so that he can go and he can share in the lives of Jewish people and bring this message to them that Jesus Christ died for their sakes and he loves them and they have a Messiah in him. And that is what we are going to learn. It's so exciting to see that God has prepared this for us to do that. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. It's very easy for us to see the end of Jesus when he was buried, just like a normal human being buried in the ground. In this case, he was above ground in a cave. And a rich man provided the means by which he would be attended to. And this was all predicted here. But the main thing that we come from, that we see here, he had done nothing. He had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. And yet he was given this kind of a burial. He was just like any other human being. But this was the Son of God who died on the cross. And now, everybody, we come to the part where it changes on this word, yet. He had done nothing wrong. He had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. But then we look at verse 10, this powerful, powerful verse. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so here again, we see that it was God who had designed this. It was his will. He was the one. No man had brought Jesus to his death. It was the plan of the Father in heaven. And that is very important to remember. We do not take credit for anything in destroying this person. It was actually the will of the Father because of his love for mankind that he would be crushed and has put him to grief. But then it turns into this. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, and this is reminiscent of Leviticus where the priest who gave a sacrifice was referred to as a soul. And it says this about Jesus because he was the high priest. When his soul as high priest makes an offering for guilt, right? He's making himself an offering. The high priest is making himself as a lamb of God for guilt. He shall see his offspring, and that springs into life this resurrection of Jesus Christ. That death has no hold on him. Death has no hold on the Messiah. He is of God, and God brings him to life. He shall prolong his days. He shall see his offspring. And so these wandering sheep, Alec Motyer said it so wonderfully. He said, the straying sheep have become children. The straying sheep that were so filled with adversity against God, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for them, they have now been transformed into children, children of God, ones who belong to God, because Jesus has taken care of the punishment. He has paid the price for all of us, and we reap as his children an inheritance. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Let me read you something that was also written by Alec Motyer. It's just so wonderful that he brings this into view. He talks about in chapter 14 of Isaiah, verses 9 through 17, and he talks about the Babylonian kings who were very, very powerful in the kingdom, right? They possessed a lot of human power. And yet this whole description in chapter 14 is one that says that death has dethroned them. In other words, their life as kings is there only as long as they are alive, but when they die, they are dethroned from their power. But listen to this. In the case of the servant, the Messiah, death ushers him into sovereign dignity and power, with his own hand administering the saving purposes of the Lord, and as victor, taking the spoil. So the kings of the Babylonian time were relishing in their power that they possessed as long as they were alive, as long as God gave them life. But Jesus Christ, in the case of him, death ushers him into sovereign dignity and power. Death brings the power of Jesus into being, in a way that we have never heard of it before. That death is a victory because of the power of God. And that is the difference. And that is the worldview that we must see here. That the things of this world are going to pass away. The things that we search for in Google are going to pass away. The things that we earn in this world are all going to pass away. Everything in this world is going to pass away. But nothing can stop the love of God. Nothing can stop the love of God. It is eternal because it's built upon the promise of an eternal king who in death had power and showed his might. And that is what we want to put our lives in. That's what we want to raise our children in. To say nothing is going to stop my child from hearing from me that Jesus Christ is the only way that they're going to have success in life. And if I don't do that, then God is going to hold me responsible. And we have to stop all of this nonsense of letting our children go ahead and do whatever else is done in the world and say, I can't do anything. You can do something. And we all have to do something. It begins with all the parents and all the adults in a church that has to say that we are here in this church not merely to come here to praise God and go home, but we are here to recognize that God has given us life, and it is his life that I possess, and I'm going to give it to him in all of my ways. Stop being so weak when you have such a powerful God. He overcomes death. And the reason that we're all here is for that, and we just kind of let the world creep in, deceive us like a rock in the ocean to cut us from beneath. Do you hear it? It's not Jude. It's God. Fight for Christ. Fight for the real truth that exists. And if your eyes cause you to sin, then cut them out. Your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. We go on to verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. The anguish of his soul is going to result in him seeing and being satisfied with the results. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. the righteous one, my servant. This verse is known as being a powerful, powerful verse of describing the doctrine, the theology of atonement. He was righteous. We just heard it. He didn't do anything wrong. He was righteous. He is righteous, right? Make many to be accounted righteous through his righteousness in dying for the sake of you and me and loving us to that extent. That means that we will be saved. Many will be accounted righteous because they believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and he shall bear their iniquities. He takes the sin, the perversities, the things that we do wrong upon himself. You know, everybody, we need to, I was talking about it like earlier, during the prayer time, we need to slow down. Including myself, there's just too many things going on in our minds disturbing us from taking time to breathe in the word of God like this. And I'm accountable before God too. I feel like I was looking at this scripture and I was like, I'm supposed to talk about this? Who am I to talk about this? Well, who am I? I'm a person who's been saved by Jesus Christ. And he told me that this is what we're supposed to look at. And he introduced it by his servant last week. And so there's something going on here, right? It's not just merely that we go week to week and we receive a message and we go home with it and we don't tie it together. It's all tied together, isn't it? Right? And so, you know, we don't dwell on our brokenness, but we admit it. And we don't just admit it like to one another. We admit it first before God, and that's why we pray. It's fine to go before God and say, you know, I have really no idea what I'm going to do. And we've talked about this before. In that moment, you are going to be helped because you're not trying to do it all yourself, right? So Christians are people that are dependent upon the power of God and work in them. So we'll just take this, just take this home a little bit in keep it in view as we go on to verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And so what is this saying? I love what, again, I want to read you what Alec Mocher had to say. He says, the servant here, what it's saying in a few words is this. He has received as his own all those for whom he died to save. And he is the true King of Kings. The servant has received as his own all those for whom he died to save. He is the true King of Kings, and his spoil is all of this, the people that come to Christ, all the people. Because he has fought the battle for us and won. He is the one who now endures, and Satan has his days numbered. And will have his end. But death is a victory for a Christian. It has no sting. It has no sting because Jesus loved us so much. So I told you I was going to return to what was written here in this writing by Jonathan Kahn. And this is what he said. Receive the Lamb. Yes, said the teacher. This is the Alpha commandment, the first perpetual, the first constant, continuous commandment given to Israel by God. Receive the Lamb, or receive for yourself the Lamb, the first commandment and the last commandment. Why the last commandment? Because all of Jewish history, all of world history is waiting for that commandment to be fulfilled. When the children of Israel finally fulfill their first commandment to take the lamb, to receive the lamb, when they receive the lamb for themselves, then the lamb will come, then Messiah will come, then the kingdom will come. Thus it is the first and last command, and not just for Israel, but for every life. It is the commandment which, when fulfilled, brings salvation to everyone who obeys it. Everything begins and ends with that. Receive the Lamb. Have you received the Lamb? He's been offered to you. He gave his life for you. Have you received the Lamb? Right? All you need to do is receive him. He has been given as a sacrifice for your life and for mine. Have you received the Lamb? Are you struggling in your life as a Christian now? Have you been caught up so much in the world and the busyness and all the different things that you have on your list to do that you've forgotten him? Receive the Lamb. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that is, right? The first commandment. And the last commandment. And so if you're going through something in your life and you're fighting with this idea in your life and you've been struggling with this, I want you to just think about these things, and we're going to sing a responsive hymn. And if you feel the Spirit of God touching your heart, then come to the front of this church. Come up into the front here. And let's give ourselves over to Christ. Give your life to him. Be done with all the things that have taken you away from him, and just receive him. Amen? So let's just, everybody, prayerfully sing these words of this beautiful hymn. And if you feel the Spirit moving you, don't resist it. Come forward, and we'll pray together briefly. And you can give your life to Christ and follow him forever. Or you can renew your life in Christ and follow him forever. Or you can just come to the front, and we'll pray together.